Hello, and welcome to Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest, and this is episode 18, Different Types of Medical Intuition. A lot of people ask me, what is medical intuition? And, you know, I have my own definition based on my years of experience. I've also taught this definition. I've been teaching and training medical intuitives for a few years. But there are a number of other medical intuitives out there who have different definitions of medical intuition. So I thought I'd do an episode on the different types of medical intuitives. And I'm actually writing a book called The Medical Mystic about medical intuition. And so this is an excerpt from that book. Now, the term medical intuitive or medical medium can be found to apply to a wide variety of practices. And this is because of the diversity of people who develop the medical intuitive gift, and also because the field has yet to be standardized. Medical intuitives are intuitives who specialize in health, or else they are medical and health practitioners who utilize intuition in their evaluation, diagnosis, and treatment of patients. Different medical intuitives have their own skill sets and tend to use that to come up with answers. So some might specialize in nutrition, others in herbs, others in acupuncture, and some will specialize in growth work. A medium who develops a medical intuition gift may become a medical medium, or they may combine their ability to talk to people's spirit guides, for example, with the info they get from bodies. An empath might specialize in picking up the emotional root causes of illness, like Louise Hay. A psychiatrist who became a medical intuitive, someone like Judith Orloff, might specialize in somatic manifestations of mental illness. Previous training can affect how you receive information as a medical intuitive, and it can also affect, how you choose to work. And it can allow you to combine your training in both modalities. So people who come to medical intuition from different fields will bring that training with them. An herbalist who becomes a medical intuitive will tend to be able to pick up herbal remedies intuitively. So that's one thing I do. I'm not a certified herbalist, but I got a lot of early training in my life in herbs, both from my great-grandmother and from my spirit teachers. And so when I'm working with a client, I will often pick up herbs for them. Now, students trained in acupuncture will be able to get intuitive information about which meridian points to use in a treatment. And I have a couple of students like this who are acupuncturists and then came and got trained by me in medical intuition. And they've been able to bring these two modalities together in a really nice way that's been really helpful for their patients. Now, different medical intuitives we'll define medical intuition differently. And if you read some of the books out there, you'll find that this is the case. It's my hope that eventually the field will be more structured and will be licensed and regulated to some extent. And that's one of the goals that I'm working towards with the creation of my own training program and my own school. In the meantime, the development of medical intuition has benefited from a diverse collection of voices and approaches. And what I decided to do was, classify or categorize the different types of medical intuitives out there. And I've come up with five categories for medical intuitives. And I call these medical clairvoyance, intuitive medicals, intuitive counselors, medical shamans, and medical mediums. The most well-known type of medical intuitive is the medical clairvoyant. A medical clairvoyant uses the gifts of clairvoyance to scan a person's body like an MRI machine. They might also use other clairs like clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, but they're mostly identified by their tendency to have, x-ray vision and to be able to use that gift to view organs and disturbances in the physical body. According to medical clairvoyant Carolyn Miss, a medical intuitive is, quote, a person who has the ability to interpret energetic data as it relates specifically to health-related crises. This data often includes behavioral patterns, archetypal patterns that govern the soul's path, life traumas, and then there is the presence of physical illness, as well as the illnesses that are in the process of developing, unquote. Another medical clairvoyant is Sue Singleton. Her specialty is identifying the root causes of illness. And so she explains that, quote, a medical intuitive uses medical intuition, which seeks to name the root cause or original trigger of a complaint, illness, or disease, or to proactively discover the imbalance before it becomes disease or illness. Unlike a psychic reading, a medical intuitive reading provides a detailed anatomical and psychological profile of the root causes or core imbalances. The medical intuitive traces an imbalance back to its source location or specific muscles, bones, organs, glands, chakra, aura, and time frame when the client's body was unable to restore homeostasis through normal mechanisms, unquote. Now, the two categories of medical intuitives that have really dominated publications on the topic, if you read the books out there, are intuitive medicals and what I call intuitive counselors. Now, intuitive medicals are licensed medical professionals like doctors, nurses, and psychiatrists whose primary training is actually in allopathic medicine. But then they've developed their intuition as a type of adjunct therapy, which they use within mainstream medicine. Because by law in the United States, only people licensed by the state they live in, can practice medicine, intuitive medicals are the only medical intuitives actually allowed to diagnose and treat patients in this country. So it's no surprise that we have a lot of books written by this category of medical intuitive, since they have a lot more they have a lot more authority in this country to practice. So someone like Christine Northrup, Tina M. Zion, Nomsa Dlamini in South Africa are examples of intuitive medicals. Now the other category that we see a lot of books written about are intuitive counselors. And again, these are people who are licensed, so they have a license to practice, which is why also they have more authority to actually be able to bring intuition to their patients. So intuitive counselors are persons licensed in a psychological or psychiatric field who then develop their intuition. Intuitive counselors focus on the emotional, psychological, or psychiatric causes of disease. Now, not all intuitive counselors are licensed counselors, but all intuitive counselors focus on the emotional causes of illness. And they don't necessarily address physical causes at all, but instead look at the mind-body connection and rely on theories that trace all illness to emotional imbalances. Intuitive counselors rely heavily on their gifts of clairsentience, which is the ability to feel. Intuitively feel somebody else's feelings. It's also sometimes called empathy. Some well-known examples are Louise Hay and Judith Orloff. The next category of medical intuitives, and this is one of the most ancient forms, and this is the form of medical intuitive that's been around the longest. The original medical intuitives were medical shamans, and we still have a lot of medical shamans around, but they don't always get the credit they should. But medical shamans are the medical intuitives who have been doing the work the longest. Medical shamanism is found all over the world in numerous indigenous cultures. Medical shamans work by going into a trance. They're able to access alternate states of consciousness, sometimes to travel out of the body or to communicate with spirits in order to identify and treat illness. These indigenous medical intuitives tend to both identify and treat illness. And that's kind of one of the distinctions. You know, in the West, medical intuitive tends to really only describe people who can engage in psychic diagnosis or psychic evaluation of a person's health. and that's it. But a medical shaman not only identifies the problem, but then treats the problem. So they're both diagnosticians and also healers. And they also often work as medical mediums, which is another category I'm going to talk about. Now, Casey, I like to say that Edgar Casey, the most famous medical intuitive, was a type of medical shaman because he went into a trance and left his body to work. He didn't identify as a shaman. He was a white man and he wasn't trained by shamans, but his technique was that of a medical shaman. The Sangomas of South Africa are a well-known and current, as well as historic group of medical shamans. I am also a medical shaman. Another example of a medical shaman is Aboriginal Australian medicine man Harold Taylor, who's able to diagnose people's ailments in a trance. And so what he does goes into a trance, and then he can see the energy of the body and the mind and the problems, and can actually look around the body while he's in the trance. And the shamanistic trance is described sometimes as omniscient, the ability to see things from a broader perspective. We have a long tradition of Native American medicine people engaging in medical shamanism, Asian, South American, African, all over the world, there have been long traditions of medical shamanism. Now, finally, my last category is medical medium. And the term medical medium is well known now because we have a medical medium who is a best-selling author, and that's Anthony Williams. And when I first heard this term, I was curious about it since I am myself a medium and also a medical intuitive. But medical mediums work in a very particular way. They get all of their information by working with a spirit doctor, a spirit guide, or some other discarnate being who's able to access the medical information for them about the patient and then relay it to the medical medium. So a medical intuitive will tend to use their own psychic ability to tune into someone else's body, but a medical medium doesn't do that. They just use their mediumship to communicate with a spirit, and the spirit tunes into the body. So it's a very interesting way of working. Most medical shamans are also medical mediums because shamans communicate with spirits. But shamans, like I discussed, often do more things than just talk to spirits. They also leave their body and enter into altered states and other realms. There's a long tradition among spiritualists of mediums who work with spirit doctors. And by spiritualists, I mean not only the spiritualists of England and of North America, but also the spiritualists of Brazil, or the spiritists, and Native American spiritualists. There's a long tradition of spiritualists working with spirit doctors. And so when I was getting my training among the spiritualists in Casadega, Florida, one of the things I learned when I was, learning the history of that particular spiritualist organization is that a lot of the foremothers and fathers of that tradition told stories of working with what they called spirit doctors to assist people with the identification and treatment of illness. The term medical medium was coined by Anthony Williams in the recent, past, but it wasn't invented by him. It's unfortunate that Anthony Williams claims that, quote, "No other medium does what I do. No one else alive has a spirit voice providing profound on-target health information with crystal clarity," unquote. I suspect the Sangomas of Southern Africa, among others, might beg to differ. So these are the five categories of medical intuition that I've come up with, and there may be others that I'm not familiar with. And I don't know how people are going to feel about which category I've put them in. So that will be an interesting dialogue in the future, I hope. And of course, a lot of people can be classified as more than one of these. So let me talk a little bit about my own placement. I actually think of myself as a medical mystic, and I call myself that because I work in so many different ways. Mysticism is a term we use to refer to people who have communication with beings from higher realms. And I have a collection of spirit teachers and angels that I work with who are high-level beings who give me really important guidance. And so that's a big part of my my path here on the earth. And that's why I've been able to do a number of episodes on the coronavirus, is because I have access to these higher levels of information. And so that's a form of mysticism. But I'm also a medical intuitive, and I'm also a medium. And so, but I'm not a medical medium. So let me talk about that a little bit. You can be a medium and a medical intuitive without being a medical medium. So when I say I'm not a medical medium, what I mean is I don't get my information about people's physical ailments from a spirit doctor or any other type of spirit. I actually get it by looking into a person's body using clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, telepathy, and a gift I call resonance. I don't actually work with a spirit doctor in getting information of that kind. When I first started working as a healer, though, I was taking a lot of healing classes, and I was taking them in the context of a spiritualist community. And at that time, I had these spirit doctors that used to work with me. And they were these cute little balls of light dressed in little white coats. And I could see them in the top left corner of my kind of peripheral vision. And so as I was working with somebody, I would have my hands, positioned over a person. These little spirit doctors would tell me what to do. And it was kind of like I was a, intern in a hospital with my, supervisors telling me exactly what to do. And so they would say, okay, send yellow light. Okay, send blue light. Okay, send soft light. Okay, send... Okay, you have to focus on their left ear. There's a problem there, and move your hands over here, and now move back. And they've given me really, really specific detailed instructions on how to heal. And they would tell me what was going on in the person's body. And that was how I worked. And so at that stage of my development, I was working as a medical medium. Now, I was not working yet. I was just practicing, because I did a lot of training and a lot of practice before I actually hung a shingle. But I did have these spirit doctors many years ago. And so at that stage in my development, I was working as a medical medium. Now, I also identify as being a medical shaman, because I do go into an altered state, and I do so many different things in my spiritual practice. And one of the things that I do is I run ceremony. And when I run ceremony, what I do is I help to create an access point for people to go into an altered state, to go on journeys out of body, to get wisdom from either their ancestors or their spirit teachers or angels or from higher realms. And I often do this work. I often go out of body. When I work with the Akashic Records, the way I work with the Akashic Records is I leave my body, I go to the records, I come back, I go back and forth. And so sometimes in the context of a medical intuitive reading, I will need to address the spiritual causes of an illness. And when I do that, I will leave my body to go up to the Akashic records to read the record of the client and find out what, for example, is the past life cause of this current illness, or is there a contract, a soul contract that's causing this illness, or was there some type of karmic agreement that was made that's causing this illness? And so whenever I'm doing that type of work, I'm really working more like a medical shaman. Now, I am also a clairvoyant, a medical clairvoyant, in that I work like a human x-ray machine or MRI. I scan the person's body and I use my clairvoyance to look into the body, and I actually see organs and veins and sometimes microorganisms, blood. And so, and I scan the body the way an x-ray machine or MRI or CAT scan would, in that I'm just going down and doing repeated scans to identify problems. And so I identify also as an intuitive clairvoyant. So I hope that's helpful to have those categories and to have that understanding of the different ways that medical intuitives work. I think it's really wonderful that we have such a diversity of practices, and I also would like us to come together to form associations, to create boards to standardize and certify and license medical intuition, so that we can be free to diagnose people, to treat people. Currently, we're in the United States, we're not. Our hands are really tied. We could help people, but we have to be very careful about not diagnosing or treating. And it would be great if we could standardize the field to some extent. Now, the only way we're going to do that, though, is if we have medical intuitives standardizing the field. We can't have people from other fields trying to standardize us according to their own rubrics, because they don't understand how it works. And so there have been some doctors in the past who have tried to create programs to certify medical intuitives, but they base them on allopathic medicine. And of course, they didn't work out, because medical intuition is not allopathic medicine. It's very different. Currently, medical intuition is a really nice adjunct therapy. It's something that you can use in addition to going to see your licensed healthcare practitioner, whether that's an allopathic medicine, allopathic doctor, a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, Ayurvedic doctor, whoever your licensed professional is, you can go see them and also go see a medical intuitive. And so until we get licensed as a modality, what's going to be really important going forward is that those who are licensed in various fields begin to work with medical intuition, begin to collaborate and cooperate with medical intuitives. I have found that my clients who are the most successful on their healing journey are the ones who are able to get information from me, take it to their doctors, and then get the tests they need or get the investigations they need based on the information I have found. When there's resistance by licensed doctors to cooperating with medical intuitives, it just creates a lot of obstacles for the client in their own healing journey. And so I really hope that the first step for medical intuition is that we begin to be recognized, respected, incorporated into medical practice more. And, you know, ideally in the future, every medical clinic would have a on-site medical intuitive, so that when you go to get your evaluation, you get your empirical evaluation by your allopath or your acupuncturist, taking your pulse, listening to your heart, looking at your tongue, doing your medical history, and at the same time you go to the medical intuitive and you get your intuitive evaluation. This, I think, would really upgrade healthcare. And so this is my vision for the future of medical intuition. And I'm doing everything I can to work towards that goal. I'm developing my own training program, my own school, and hope to be advocating for this cooperation in various ways and for the standardization and licensing of this field in the future. Thank you for listening. This has been Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest. I will see you next time.